In this episode, Brigham Rump teaches us about teaching.
It came as a result of the position of leadership which was imposed upon us by the God of heaven, who brought forth a restoration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the declaration was made concerning the only true and living church upon the face of the earth, we were immediately put in a position of loneliness, the loneliness of leadership, from which we cannot shrink nor run away, and to which we must face up with boldness and courage and ability.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Leading LDS Podcast. My name is Kurt Frankham, your host, and want to welcome the newbies here that maybe you've discovered Leading LDS for the first time. I welcome you. There's a lot going on here and a lot to find, so I hope you enjoy it. I hope you've had a chance to read some of the other articles on Leading LDS. This week we published a article about Snapchat, an interview. There's also a podcast interview with it, and wow! There's a lot of people that don't like Snapchat, and I was unaware, and I definitely woke a sleeping giant there. But nonetheless, we got some good dialogue going back. We're learning. I think we're all getting to an understanding of how it can help youth and how it can't help youth, and what leaders' role is in regards to participating with youth through apps, and how they can inspire and just play a role in that, in the apps that youth are using. So anyways, I'd love for you to check that out and submit a comment. Give me your feedback and opinions on that. But today is a guest post with Brigham Rupp. If you'll remember, Brigham was interviewed on the How I Lead segment. Brigham is a seminary teacher and knows his stuff when it comes to teaching, and submitted an article. He actually originally posted this article or version of it on his blog, thesilvergray.com. Check him out there. He's got really, really good content there. He's been so kind to contribute as a guest author on Leading LDS, and I really am begging him to submit some more content, because this is really good. There's a lot to learn here, and he talks about the 5 prep tips for teaching with greater power, and these are spot on. Definitely send this to your Sunday school president. So I'm going to pass it over to Brigham.
Hello, Leading LDS community. I'm Brigham Rupp from Santan Valley, Arizona. And Kurt invited me to share an article on teaching preparation that originally appeared a few weeks ago on my blog, thesilvergray.com. This was just prior to the church announcing their new teaching initiative and handbook. And many of these concepts are covered in that handbook, so I'd recommend checking that out if you haven't. Also, if I may, I'd like to personally thank everyone who's contributed to Leading LDS. I never listen to an interview without having a number of impressions related to my calling. It's interesting, I rarely feel to do exactly what you've described, but the Spirit always seems to tailor your thoughts and ideas to my situation, and it's a testament to what Kurt's doing. So thanks. Okay, here are 5 prep tips for teaching with greater power. One of the things I love and sometimes hate about teaching is that a teacher never arrives. No matter how well you teach, you can always do better next time. It's no secret that teaching in the church has room for improvement. As John Milton wrote, sometimes the hungry sheep look up but are not fed. Nor is there a shortage of material meant to help us do better. In the spirit of Elder Jeffrey R. Holland's plea that we revitalize and re-enthrone superior teaching in the church, here are 5 preparation tips that'll take your teaching to the next level. There are hundreds of valuable teaching tips. These 5 are focused on common mistakes we make in our approach to teaching in the church. While easier said than done, remembering these will make our teaching easier, more enjoyable, and most importantly, more powerful. Number 1, focus on teaching people, not lessons. I know this sounds like a meaningless gimmick, but following this simple maxim changes the entire approach to teaching. Because teaching for most of us is such an anxiety-inducing activity, our natural tendency is to focus on ourselves from the onset. How am I going to use up the time? What am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to be received? The danger is to give our lesson all the attention instead of the students. This tendency is manifest when we teach well-prepared lessons that are not relevant to our students, when we rush past questions because we need to get back to the lesson, or when our minds are blank after a meaningful comment because while they were talking, we were thinking about the lesson plan to which we're so rigidly attached. As we pray for charity and focus on our students, we empower the Spirit to direct us in ways that will bless those we teach. Elder Dallin H. Oaks taught, "A gospel teacher will never be satisfied with just delivering a message or preaching a sermon. A superior gospel teacher wants to assist in the Lord's work to bring eternal life to his children." Number two, determine what to teach before you plan how to teach. This one's harder than it sounds. Again, because we're so often focused on ourselves, we have a natural tendency to jump straight into how we're going to teach when we sit down to prepare. This is a huge mistake, and it makes preparation very difficult. Powerful teaching usually comes from knowing what specific principles and doctrines you want to emphasize. I don't just mean, I know I'm going to teach the gospel essential lesson on prayer, or I'm teaching the Sunday school lesson on 2 Nephi 32 through 33. This is not enough. In any given church class, you generally have enough time to effectively cover one or two specific principles. These should be identified so specifically and clearly that someone could ask, "What did you want us to learn today?" And you could respond with a single clear sentence. So, for example, after studying the Gospel Essentials lesson on prayer, you might feel to teach these two principles. Sincere prayer allows us to receive God's help in our lives. And if I pray always, I can conquer Satan's temptations. Elder Scott taught, "As you seek spiritual knowledge, search for principles. Carefully separate them from the detail used to explain them. Principles are concentrated truth, packaged for application to a wide variety of circumstances. A true principle makes decisions clear, even under the most confusing and compelling of circumstances. It is worth great effort to organize the truth we gather into simple statements of principle." Elder Oaks adds, "A superior teacher of the gospel will teach from the prescribed course material with great emphasis on teaching the doctrines and principles and covenants of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Most church curriculum identifies principles and doctrines for us, especially the newer curriculum. If it doesn't, it will help to identify it yourself. We should know clearly what we're hoping to get across to the students. Once we know what to teach, it becomes much easier for the Spirit to guide us in preparing how to teach. Trying to decide how to teach when we don't know what we're teaching is putting the cart before the horse. Number three, focus on what people will do rather than on what you're going to say. Once again, resist the urge to focus on yourself. Once you know what you should teach, focus your attention on what the students will do in order to learn those doctrines and principles. Should they read, ponder, answer questions, write, watch a video? Suddenly, what you do as a teacher is simply guide the student along the path of discovering, feeling, and applying the truths that you hope to emphasize. We don't learn much from lectures. We learn most by doing. Elder David A. Bednar taught that a learner exercising agency by acting in accordance with correct principles opens his or her heart to the Holy Ghost and invites his teaching, testifying power, and confirming witness. Learning by faith requires spiritual, mental, and physical exertion and not just passive reception. Elder Henry B. Eyring explained very simply, giving students experiences with the Spirit is far more important than talking about it. Number four, remember that covering material is not the end goal. This one fits with tip number one, but I think it's important enough to have its own spot. This is one of the biggest mistakes common in church teaching. Covering the material is not the ultimate goal. The goal of teaching in the church, as described by President Thomas S. Monson, is to inspire the individual to think about, feel about, and then do something about living gospel principles. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland taught, an unrushed atmosphere is absolutely essential if you are to have the Spirit of the Lord present in your class. This is manifest most often in the last 10 minutes of class, when students are actually thinking about and feeling the truths being discussed. And rather than drive home the truths taught with testimony and application, the teacher cuts off the discussion and rushes through the last bit of the lesson to make sure they covered all the material. We should try to cover the material, but if we do it at the expense of spiritual experiences, we are making a mistake. Often, we simply try to cover too much. Number five, if you're not feeling it, they won't feel it. This is the linchpin. If you don't have a fire in your bones for the truths you're teaching, the students will feel your indifference and your teaching will have little power. Sometimes we teach subjects that we already feel strongly about. Other times we may be indifferent or even doubtful toward the subject. But if we will pay the price in study and prayer, an excitement will come. The Spirit will come. That excitement and passion will be passed on to the students. For example, in seminary, we recently studied Ecclesiastes. In preparation, I read all 12 chapters 5 times, each time thinking there was nothing powerful for my students to discover. I was underwhelmed by the lesson plan in the curriculum and almost ready to settle for a mediocre day in the classroom. Then on the 6th reading, something clicked. I discovered for myself the truths identified in the manual. I fell in love with the book of Ecclesiastes and the relevant doctrine taught therein. It was hard, but it was worth it. Once I got excited about the material, how to help my students discover those truths quickly fell into place. We had one of the best days of the year. Even if your preparation is lacking, even if your skills are not as polished as you'd like, if you're feeling it, they'll feel it. I know from day in to day out personal experience that these tips are worth remembering and following. The better we prepare, the better we teach. And the better we teach, the more our students are blessed. But that's not all. Better teaching is more enjoyable teaching. One of the tender mercies that accompanies those who pay the price in preparation.
Man, those were good, don't you think? I appreciate Brigham for taking the time to allow me to post that and to write that out. I know it's going to contribute to the many teachers out there because teaching is such a big part of being a leader in the church. And so I hope you benefited from that. And the greatest way to help Leading LDS, well, one of the greatest ways, is to share Leading LDS. There's so many Sunday school presidents, 6 Sunday school presidents, gospel doctrine teachers, bishops that don't know that Leading LDS exists yet. And so a simple email or a simple share on social media will get the word out there and it'll bless their lives. It will improve teaching on Sunday. Imagine that you have the power to influence and improve the teaching quality that you experience on Sunday. And what and that is by sharing articles like this so that gets them thinking and hopefully improves their teaching. As always, we just ask $1 a month for the content on Leading LDS. Obviously, you're going to get it regardless, but if you would be so kind to go to leadinglds.com/help, H-E-L-P, and there's a link there to submit $1. Just donate $1 a month to what we're doing here. And if everybody that listened to this did that, we would be long and far beyond where we're at now with a simple blog and maybe a podcast. There's so much more we can do to influence the level and ability of leaders in the church. And there's so many leaders out there that are struggling that, you know, they're doing their best, they're inspired, they're praying. But when it comes down to the day-to-day best practices, they're not sure where to start. And so by sharing ideas and getting inspiration and training through some of these resources, then that's where they become great leaders. So your contribution would be awesome. $1 a month is all we ask. Until next time, be a leader and not a calling.